You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Gym Class for a midweek Wednesday here at KGYM at 3:04. Thank you for joining us for a big show here today. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Isaac on the other side of the glass here today, taking you through this 3 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. Brought to you again by DuPaco Community Credit Union, celebrating their 75th year of business. We got a great show coming up for you. Mark James will join us, the voice of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, the voice of the 500 and the NTT IndyCar Series. We will preview the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 for you coming up on Sunday. We've got it at 10 o'clock for you right here on all of our frequencies of KGYM. Also, Chris Liss will join us from Real Man Sports. Your fantasy baseball questions. And if you have a fantasy football question, Chris can field that as well. And we will talk with Chris, and we'll get a tennis wrap-up as the finals may be over for state tennis with Randy Krejci coming up all before 4 o'clock. Text line available to you at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And coming your way today, like every afternoon on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM at Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well on a beautiful, little bit warm and humid Wednesday as it's starting to feel like summer here in eastern Iowa. Mark joins me from the southwest side on this Wednesday. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Scott, Isaac, everyone out there. And yeah, it's a beautiful sunsplash day and a lot to get to. So we probably shouldn't dilly-dally.
We should not. And the first piece of news is sad, very sad news coming down about less than an hour ago, as a matter of fact, around an hour ago anyway. An icon of the music world passing today at the age of 83. The great Tina Turner has passed away, Mark. And man alive, what a life she lived, both good and bad. Of course, with her ex-husband, Ike Turner, to start things off, made a solo career after all of that. Highly successful, very, very energetic entertainer, and just an icon in the music world. Maybe doesn't get the credit that she deserves, really. And we found out she passed away today at 83.
Yeah, icon is a great way to put it, because she was. And a trailblazer, queen of rock and roll, whatever you want to call her. But what's this have to do with sports? Well, she did perform at the Super Bowl.
She did.
That counts, right?
Indeed.
She was tremendous. Got a start with Ike, but really didn't need him. She relaunched her career in her 40s and had a couple highly successful albums. And there are albums out there, right?
Yeah. Not okay. Now, but there were then. Isaac, do you know what an album is, by the way? Okay, Isaac does. Thank you. Great. She was also in movies, too.
She was in a lot of movies and television shows. And you can't say enough about what she did in her life.
Yeah. So RIP to Tina Turner, who passes away today at age 83. 319-366-1600, the text line available to you. That is a phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. They're playing baseball in Omaha as the first round concluding, as the home team, if you will, the Nebraska Cornhuskers, the number 4 seed, leading 5th-seeded Rutgers 3-0 right now, about halfway through the game. As Rutgers, Spencer and I were talking about this during the switchover. Rutgers, on an almost 90-degree day, deciding to wear all-black uniforms today. Would not have been my choice, Mark.
Oh, those kids don't care, do they?
That's got to be hot. It's got to be hot, man. I'm going to pull
it's not a black or white.
I'm going to pull a Costanza here and say, if you're 10 degrees cooler than the other team, you're going to play better. everything goes back to a Seinfeld episode. Everything does. Cotton uniforms, Isaac. Cotton uniforms. And Nebraska with the lead right now, as we mentioned. And there are people there today, Mark. There are people in Omaha today.
Yeah, and I think there will be the rest of the week. Of course, Iowa will ride the arm of Brody Brecht tomorrow as the Hawkeyes face Indiana tomorrow afternoon.
They will. By the way, just a philosophical question here. They, during the break between innings and coming back, the Big Ten Network showed a picture of the Big Ten baseball tournament trophy. You're thinking, okay, so what? It includes Wisconsin on it.
Ah.
Wisconsin has not played a Big Ten baseball game in 20 years. Should the West...
Much like Iowa State, Northern Iowa, I guess.
Would Iowa State and Northern Iowa be on their trophies for the conference? I suppose you're a conference school. I don't know. Dallas Baptist, don't they, Cal's son's alma mater, don't they play in the, they're in a big time, I think they may even be in the Big 12, but I'd have to double check on that. Would they got to be included on the trophy, right?
Yeah, I missed that whole trophy thing. I was watching the Twins game and actually forgot about the Big Ten tournament, so appreciate the update there.
All right. Should Wisconsin be on the trophy for the Big Ten tournament? 319-366-1600. We're going to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update with Mark coming up after we talk to Mark Janes here in just a little bit. There is news today, very interesting news, Mark, coming out of scheduling as far as the Big Ten and football is concerned. It's not enough now we have Black Friday games, Mark. We are going to have a Black Friday primetime Big Ten matchup coming up in 2023.
We are indeed, and that's going to be Penn State and Michigan State. It will be played at the home of the Lions, Ford Field, on NBC. And also coming out, I don't know if this was previously reported, but I think confirmed today, that on September 23rd, Ohio State at Notre Dame is going to be a primetime game on NBC as well. And coincidentally, that is opposite the Iowa-Penn State game that night.
I didn't think that would happen, but I guess in this day and age, if you're the Big Ten and if you have all of these partners, as far as your television package is concerned, you're going to have to double up at times. You don't usually see primetime games being doubled up, though. They're usually standalone games. In the afternoons, yes, you do get two or three games happening at the same time. That's a different situation. This may be unprecedented waters that the Big Ten is sailing into right now.
Yeah, with NBC part of the package right now, you got Ohio State, Notre Dame on NBC. I think Iowa, Penn State's on CBS. Correct me if I'm wrong. You might have these classes down the road. I don't know. But certainly will next year.
We will. And what happens if the Big Ten continues to expand? Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, no doubt, that you're going to have these situations pop up. 319-366-1600 here in the Jim Class on KGYM as we come up on 14 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Going to talk to Mark Janes coming up here in just a moment or two. In fact, we'll talk with him after we tell you about hockey coming up tonight. It will be game 4 coming up this evening between Florida and Carolina. We've got it for you tonight right here on KGYM. Starting at 6:30 with the pregame just past 7 o'clock, they'll drop the puck. Florida with a 3-0 lead on the Carolina Hurricanes. And can America's team, the number 8 seed, go to the Stanley Cup final? It's Stanley Cup Finals or Final. We've had that debate too before. Same thing as the whole Wisconsin should they be on the Big Ten baseball trophy or not. But Carolina in trouble. Florida can oust them tonight, and we'll have it at 6:30 for you right here on KGYM. Celtics stayed alive last night.
They did. They prevented Miami from sweeping that series. And poll question today at KGYMradio.com has to do with that series. Do we have a series on our hands in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals? Yes or no? Thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew in Iowa City at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. I'd say no. Nobody's ever been down 3-0-1, right?
Not buying it yet, huh?
No.
I think we might. I am not selling the Celtics down the road yet. Not yet. Showed very well at the end in the second half last night. And watch that game, because the Vegas Golden Knights absolutely blitzed Dallas. 3 goals in the first 7 minutes, so that thing was over. And watched a little bit more basketball than usual. All right, coming up on Sunday, it is going to be the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500. You can hear it right here on KGYM, one of the great affiliates of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. And the man on the call that day joins us right now, and that is Mark Janes. Does an amazing job, he and the rest of the entire staff of the IMS Radio Network, in bringing you all, not only the coverage from Indianapolis, but throughout the year that you enjoy here on KGYM. Mark, thanks for the time. Appreciate it, and happy race week.
Yeah, well, we couldn't do what we do without you guys, that's for sure. And we appreciate your support, and always happy to visit with you guys a few times a year that we have the opportunity to do that.
Indeed, and what a week, what a month it's been so far. I go back to last Sunday, and we talked about this on the Monday show, that was 2 hours from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock here in Iowa. Anyway, that was about as gut-wrenching and emotional on both sides for a day at Indianapolis that we have seen in a long, long time, having bump day and then the run for the pole.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'll even go back to Saturday from our perspective and tell you that, you know, this is my 28th year with the network, and my eighth as the anchor. And I don't ever remember a time where we were put in the position that we were in on Saturday, because we were actually in the last couple of hours of Saturday having to follow two distinct storylines. I mean, we were following the battle to stay out of the last row shootout, and at the same time, we were following the battle to get in the Fast 12 on Saturday. And that was, quite frankly, a lot to keep up with, given the way the qualifying line was lined up. But you know, when all was said and done, we got to Sunday, and you know, I said during the test back in April that we live streamed. I said, you know, once the RC Enerson effort was announced, I said, guys, it's not a foregone conclusion that that 34th entry was going to be the one bump from the Indy 500. I said, bottom line is this: each and every year, there is a high profile driver or a high profile team that for whatever the reason seems to struggle. I mean, we remember Will Power a couple of years ago and how hard he had to work to get into the race. Prior to that, you know, Fernando Alonso being bumped from the Indianapolis 500 by Kyle Kaiser. And the list goes on and on and on, going back to when, of course, Team Penske was denied a right to start the 500 a number of years ago, back in the 90s. So, you know, most of the drivers who have won it will tell you that for whatever the reason, that place has a tendency to seemingly pick people for the good and for the bad, and you just obviously hope you come out on the good more often than not. But it was an amazing day, and a day in which I think for a handful of people, especially last name of Ray Hall and even Jack Harvey, the pendulum of emotion swung unlike anything that they'd probably ever experienced before.
Mark, fastest front row in Indy 500 history, surprising or not?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think this formula has been in place for a while now, and this is an indication of how it's a team sport. And you know, what a role that engineers play. I think ultimately it's up to the driver. I think most people know that, but I think the car's got to be set up a certain way. And I think, you know, they had a pretty significant, pretty successful test, and had a couple of good days to get it all figured out. And I think Mother Nature played a role in it too, because I think the conditions were ideal for those kind of speeds. As a matter of fact, we were a little surprised, maybe based upon what we had seen on Friday and Saturday, that there wasn't a 235-mile-an-hour average. But it's still bad fast, as you suggest, for sure, and it was a great story.
Well, it's great as well to see four different teams represented in the Fast Six, including A.J. Foyt Racing. And having A.J. in Indianapolis at age 88 is terrific. Having his car vie for the pole was even better.
Well, and a lot of credit's got to be given to Michael Cannon. Well, first of all, to Larry Foyt for being able to bring Michael Cannon in. I mean, an accomplished engineer who's, you know, been with some of the great teams of all time over the years, going all the way back to Players and Forsythes in the old kart days. And lifelong racer. I mean, his dad in the early 70s drove in the Formula One race at Watkins Glen and was an F5000 champion. And you know, the kid grew up around motorsports. It's all he ever wanted to do. And that's, you know, part of a lot of Ganassi's success recently. And so adding him and the pairing with him and Santino Ferrucci, I mean, sometimes you get the right engineer with the right driver, and magic happens. I mean, it's much like, you know, a quarterback with a particular offensive coordinator, a quarterback coach, and, you know, a pitcher and a pitching coach. I mean, that relationship, there's got to be communication, there's got to be chemistry there. And given the tragedy with AJ losing his wife Lucy back in early April, and of course, you know, he's 88 years old and had some health issues over the past several years, I think getting him to Indianapolis to get his mind off the sadness of losing the matriarch of that family and the success that they've had is just what the doctor ordered. And there's no question that when A.J. Foyt Racing is successful at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it adds a little buzz to the proceedings for sure.
Swing of emotions for Graham Rahal. He was out, and now he's back in. Not the circumstances that he would have chosen.
No, and you won't find another nicer family in motorsports than the Wilson family. I had several opportunities to interview and talk to away from the track. The late Justin Wilson, Steph Wilson's brother. And Steph, even, you know, when he was out of a car and wasn't really poised for a ride, we actually used him as a pit reporter and a driver analyst over the last few years on the IMS radio network. And you know, he has had his share of bad luck at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You know, I mean, he was very, 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 very close to winning the 500. And if the caution flag had flown late in the race, he might have very well won it. Of course, he had to step out of a ride a few years ago in favor of Fernando Alonso. And so, you know, they'd worked very, very hard and everything was going really, really well. The important thing is that after surgery, for all intents and purposes, he's going to be okay. I know that he and the team that he has around him will work very, very hard to get him back in the car next year. You know, as far as the circumstances, how they unfolded because of the fact that Graham and Justin once upon a time were teammates. Graham saw Justin as a mentor very early on in his career. I think everything sorted itself out nicely. And let me say this. Before the announcement was ever made, you know, sometimes we wonder whether, you know, we have lost track of sportsmanship and class and going all the way down to the youth league level. Well, moms and dads that are listening out there, if you're not a race fan, still do yourself a favor and Google Graham Rahal's post-qualifying press conferences, and you will see an exercise in class and sportsmanship that I think should be emulated across all forms of sports. And so because of the way that he conducted himself and handled himself, I think the move was universally applauded when it was announced that he was going to replace Steph Wilson for the 500.
I agree. Good stuff there. 324. Mark James joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. One of the great storylines, this is the final ride for one of the most popular, if not the most popular drivers, Tony Kanaan, former winner. Crowd went nuts back in when he won it. About a decade ago, I'm not sure what would happen this time if TK could win it. And he's got a shot with Arrow now, starting in row three.
I'm glad you guys are convinced that it's his last one, because I'm not. I think if the right set of circumstances unfold and he's able to bring it home with a top 10 or a top 6 finish, I think that'll whet the appetite enough to at least make him consider it. But again, it's got to be the right situation. I mean, Ryan Hunter-Reay is back this year with Dreyer and Ryan Bolden. Ryan Hunter-Reay had opportunities to run the 500 last year. He had offers. But, you know, those guys, they're former series champion, they're former race champions. They've got nothing left to prove. And so there's simply no reason for them to come and do this if they don't have an opportunity to win. I mean, that kind of explains why Takuma Sato is running for Ganassi in the 500 this year. I mean, he had a couple of full-time opportunities, decided this part-time oval-only opportunity would be the best fit for him and give him the best chance to be competitive, especially a chance to win his third 500. But I will say this, if it is indeed his last Indy 500, he's going to go out with a bang. And I can tell you that you know, TK, Elio, Ed Carpenter, and Connor Daly, those guys always get the loudest cheers when they take the lead at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's always a fun thing to call and be a part of.
Guessing Mark James doesn't believe LeBron James is done.
There is, guys, there is little I care less about than the NBA.
Well, you're busy in May.
Well, I don't care if it's January, February, March, or April. I can't. I'm sorry. I know that it's fantastic and all of that. I'm showing my age there with that reference. But yeah, I don't find it entertaining. A lot of people do. That's fine. But I do pull hard for the Pacers. Obviously, the Indiana Pacers got a great young team. Matter of fact, Tyrese Haliburton, their star, is going to drive the pace car. It was announced today. We're excited about that. I do go to Pacer games during the year, but I don't. Now I will say this. I'll watch the finals because it's the NBA finals. But up until that point, I hope they're not relying on me for existence. I'll say that.
Hey, what kind of race are we going to see before we let you go here, Mark? There's talk of a lot of passing. You may not want to be leading lap 199. What do you see?
I think that's a great point. I think what it boils down to, what I've heard so far from the teams and the drivers, I think it all boils down to the ability to make sure your tire wear falls in line with your fuel stint, because the last thing you want is to be 10 or 12 laps from a pit stop and have tire wear to the point to where your grip starts to go away. I mean, you're going to lose a ton of momentum in that regard, and it becomes a very precarious thing the later that we go in the race and the dirtier the track can get. So I think fuel strategy and tire wear are going to be the two keys. I think patience is going to be a key. I think Marcus Ericsson had a perfect formula last year to where he hung around at the top five, and then over the last 50 laps he hit the button. But everything that I've seen in practice at the test in April and everything that I've seen so far this month tells me that it's not going to come down to one or two cars anymore. I mean, with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 laps, I think the start's going to be insane, and I think the last 25 or 30 laps are going to be just as crazy. And we will add another marvelous thread to the tapestry that is the greatest spectacle in racing.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it coming up on Sunday. I'll be in turn two. Look for me. I'll be wearing white shirt with, I believe, tan shorts. So no, I'm kidding.
Well, I'm just happy to hear you wearing a shirt, because a lot of people don't when it's warm outside.
I am not going to be one that does that. So no problems there. I don't know who's in two, if it's Query or who, but he will not have to look at that.
it'll be Michael Young. So
Michael Young,
wave at track dude if you get a chance. Yeah, for sure.
So. I will do that. All right, Mark. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Have a great call and have a great race week.
Guys, we're headed back to Iowa this summer. We're awfully excited. We hope to see you there.
We'll be there. Thanks, Mark.
Yep, take care.
Mark James, the voice of the Indianapolis 500, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. I don't take my shirt off, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I got Isaac. Now, Isaac is laughing because of that. I'm not doing it, man. There are plenty that do that. And they're doing a lot worse, too, by the way. Just saying that.
I think I made a promo of the college, what was it, the Arkansas college basketball coach. He took his shirt off and was waving around. I made a promo of that earlier when you had something to say about that, too. So, not a fan of the shirt coming off.
No, I am not a fan of the shirt off.
I'm sure everyone appreciates that.
Thank you. Anything on the text line about? No, nothing yet. All right, 319-366-1600. Our thanks to Mark Janes for joining us as we look ahead to the Indianapolis 500, the greatest spectacle in racing on Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KGYM. I believe the green flag is about 11:20 our time, about 12:20 Eastern time, Indiana time, if you will. And yes, Mark let out a little bit of one of Mark's news items on his Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. And I'll let you talk about that and other things, Mark.
Sounds good. On the scoreboard today, a handful of games in Major League Baseball. Four are final. The Twins avoided a sweep against the Giants, winning 7-1. The White Sox shut out Cleveland 6-0. Michael Kopech with an outstanding start. Milwaukee also with a shutout, 4-0 over Houston. Texas defeating Pittsburgh 3-2. How about the Rangers? Wow. Mm. Extra innings right now. Arizona and Philly tied 5-5. Iowa will play Creighton, as we talked about yesterday in the Gavitt games. The date has been set. It would be November 14th in Omaha. In Iowa women's basketball news, Tania Davis has been named the Director of Player Development for the Hawkeyes. Ultra-popular player during her career. It should be fun there. And finally, tee times for tomorrow's Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. Zach Johnson playing with Max Homa and Kevin Kisner at 106. And America's sweetheart, Michael Block, will tee off at 128 with Minwoo Lee and Pearson Cootie.
Oh, interesting. One of the youngsters. In fact, both Cooties were slated to play, and one of the brothers, Cootie, could not. He bowed out, and that opened up the spot for Michael Block to get in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how that all came about. And he got the last sponsor's exemption into the tournament. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. By the way, they're as soon as this tournament is over, and in fact, they may be tearing up the front nine as the leaders are coming down, like we saw a couple years ago at Quail Hollow. Colonial Country Club is going to go through an 11-month redo. They're not going to change the routing or anything like that. They're going to go back, going to do one of those restorations, much like what Oak Hill went through, going back to making it a little bit more like the 1941 United States Open that was contended there. And when Ben Hogan was playing his golf at Colonial, Mark. So one of the great gems is going to go back, get a little facelift.
Interesting. Over under on Michael Block's first round score.
Ooh. Now it's a par 70, I believe, correct?
I think so.
I'm going to go, I'd love to see about a 65, but I just, everything he's gone through, et cetera, I'm going to say 70 and a half.
72 or three.
Yeah, I'd love to see it continue. I just don't know mentally if he can keep it going. Golf is a very fickle sport, too, as those of us that play it know. You can be great for 4 or 5 days, then all of a sudden you think you got the world licked, and bang. It reminds you that golf is a four-letter word.
I hope he continues what he's been doing.
I hope he does too. And oh, go ahead.
Be a great story.
It would be. And as Mark James told us, Tyrese Halliburton is going to be the starter, or excuse me, the pace car, honorary pace car driver for the 500 coming up on Sunday. The former Iowa State basketball star, now a star with the hometown Indiana Pacers. So looking forward to that coming up on Sunday. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and get your questions ready for Chris Liss of Real Man Sports. You have a fantasy baseball question, fantasy sports question, whether it be baseball or football. Go ahead and get it to us right now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600, and we will get those questions answered by Chris. And we will talk with him when we return after this. You're listening to The Gym Class, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on The Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we're going to have plenty of sunshine today. It will be a bit hazy and toasty with temperatures around 80 degrees once again. Later tonight, the winds begin to pick up and cooler air will be moving in. Temperatures will drop down into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty of sunshine, but it will be a bit cooler out there with temperatures held to the low 70s. We'll keep the 70s around on Friday as well as the sunshine, but bounce back into the 80s for the Memorial Day weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Opening to the public in September 2023, it's Pin Seekers. With two levels of year-round entertainment featuring 56 all-weather luxury golf suites, smart target greens, 18 holes of authentic mini golf, 6 lanes of duck pin mini bowling, multi-sport simulators, event space, and so much more. For a limited time, get your individual or family membership and save over $500 while also receiving 3 months free. Get your membership or gift card today at pinseekers.com.
Get ready for Memorial Day weekend with 11% off everything at Menards. Get grilling with an 8-pound bag of hardwood lump charcoal, just $5.99 after rebate. Light up your outdoor space with a bamboo torch and citronella fuel, just $4.99 each after rebate. And finally, relax in a patriotic quad chair, only $12.99 after 11% off. Good through May 29th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details on all the great Memorial Day deals.
Save big money at
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Tune into The Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Welcome back. Gym Class here on KGYM for a Wednesday. Scott and Mark, Isaac on the other side of the glass, our producer, and you, our listener out there at 319-366-1600. That is the text line. If you have a question for our next guest, Chris Liss of Real Man Sports, also we're working with the folks at rotowire.com. Go ahead and get it to us right now. Again, baseball question, early football question, get it to us right now at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Chris joining us here on a Wednesday afternoon in Eastern Iowa. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
Not bad. Not bad. Your Yankees are making a bit of a comeback here.
Yeah, they won last night against the Orioles. And, you know, they're a good team. And they just got Severino back. And, you know, hopefully going to get Carlos Rodon back at some point. And so, yeah, the Rays were just kind of anomalously running off with the division early. But I don't think that, you know, I think it'll be close.
I was going to ask you about Rodon and his chances of getting back and in how quickly that's going to be if he is on your team. When should you expect him back?
Well, I guess so. He's got this back issue and he's going to be, I guess, thrown off a mound pretty soon. I think the latest we had on it's not we anymore, but RotoWire had on May 23rd. So, You know, I don't like when they say he's hoping, because hoping doesn't really mean much. Of course, he's hoping to throw off a mound. I would say if he does throw off a mound in early June, then you're probably talking about another month. I think you're probably talking July, and then, you know, maybe they, you know, when the All-Star break, you know, maybe they buy a few extra days off at the All-Star break. So I would not be expecting him before July. And the thing is, when Rodon is right, he's, you know, a top five pitcher in baseball. So, and he's on a good team that's going to get him some wins. But that's just assuming that he's 100% when he comes back.
Chris, who is the most valuable, reliable pitcher in baseball right now?
That's a good question. Maybe Shane McClanahan has been pretty good.
Strider?
You know, who'd you say?
Spencer Strider.
Strider's been good. He got hit a little bit yesterday by the Dodgers, but he struck out 12, I mean, or whatever, 11, and he's still looked good. Yeah, I think Strider is up there. I almost took him in my high-stakes league. One thing I like about Strider is I usually avoid the young pitchers because they tend to get Tommy John surgery. You know, the hard throwers, they end up, like, you know, over-pitching their arm. But he had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago, so he's kind of past the first one, which makes him a little safer. But McClanahan's another one, Strider. I still like Verlander. You know, he missed a month. He probably needs a couple more weeks before we say he's truly back, but I trust Verlander a lot too.
Mark just wanted you to say Sonny Gray or Joe Ryan. That's why he asked that question.
Well, they've been doing well. And I'm mad because I always take Sonny Gray every year. I don't know why I passed him up this year. The one year I didn't get him, he's dominating.
By the way, here comes the judge. Not to throw you a slow pitch right down the middle of the plate, Chris, but your guy is coming on.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I don't have him on my fantasy team, but I do have him on my real life team. And remember, he was on the DL, so he missed, I don't know, 10 games, and he's got 14 home runs already. You know, I mean, he might have, you know, 17, 18 home runs already. So, you know, he probably won't hit 62 again, but could he hit 50? Yeah, he could hit 50.
Isn't there another player in New York who might hit more home runs?
Yeah, Pete Alonso. And another guy, you know, I only have four teams this year. Usually I have about eight. So I get all the guys. That's Oscar. Sorry.
Hi, Oscar.
Making his. He's been on KGYM before, though.
Yes, he has.
He's comfortable on the radio. But, yeah, Pete Alonso, 18 home runs. And, you know, if you look at, like, the last – since 2019, I think Alonso has – you know, because Judge has been hurt a bunch. I think Alonso has the most home runs in the majors over that span.
Interesting. 85-32 on the text line. And by the way, you have a question for Chris. Go ahead and text it to us at 319-366-1600. You can also give us a call at 319-366-1600. Had big hopes for Nick Lodolo. Is he worth holding an IL spot for at this point?
It depends, you know, what your league, what the, you know, like how many bench players you have and how deep it is and all of that. But, we dropped him in 112 teamer. I don't know if in the, I think I have him too. I didn't see my other manager. I've got guys managing the teams now for me if they dropped him. But, you know, this is definitely like, you know, minimum 4 weeks. And then he's got to, like, you know, ramp back up. So luckily it's not an arm injury, so he should be okay. But I think we're looking at, like, you know, early July, probably, you know, late June, early July at best. Just depends how deep your league is, but he's good. I mean, he's a good pitcher.
In football, Chris, everything I read and see about Bijan Robinson being utilized in multiple ways, at least at this early point, how high can this guy go in a draft?
You could take him 1.1. I mean, I don't think it's crazy. I mean, you'll probably see Justin Jefferson go there just because – you know, he's done it for a few years and he's, you know, paired with his quarterback and it's just like it's automatic basically. And I'd probably take Jefferson at 1.1. But you start looking at McCaffrey and guys like that, Eckler, McCaffrey, like those guys are old for running backs. And running backs, they fall off a cliff. You know, you don't see a lot of 28, 29-year-old running backs at the top of the leaderboards at the end of the year, at the end of the season. And, you know, it's a young man's game, especially that position. And so – you know, he's going third overall in the high stakes already. So, you know, I think you're going to get to see Jefferson and Jamar Chase, guys like that at the top. But I think Bijan Robinson is going to go top five in basically every draft.
Mm. Chrysalis joining us here at 3:44. Back to baseball real quick. Matt in Cedar Rapids with a question. Bryce Miller or Yuri Perez needs to keep one of those guys?
Yeah, I'm not the good prospect guy. I don't want to give him bad information. I think you should go to RotoWire. I don't even get any money for it anymore. I don't own it anymore. But check out their prospect rankings, what they have to say about those guys. But I don't want to give you bad information.
About the NFL as well, and we heard at the top of the hour SportsCenter, San Francisco 49ers think Brock Purdy is going to be back, and he's going to be their starting quarterback for 2023. Not Trey Lance.
I'm fine with that. Purdy played well. They might have made the Super Bowl. They might have won the Super Bowl if he doesn't get hurt in the NFC title game. I mean, it was just a joke that they lost their quarterback, but he played well, and Lance played a little bit before he got hurt and did not play especially well. It is insane the amount they traded up to get to the number three pick to take Lance, and the fact that they get this guy at the last pick in the draft, and that guy's ahead of Lance. It is a catastrophic trade. I mean, think about what they would have. One of the picks they traded turned into Micah Parsons for the Cowboys, by the way. Not that they would have taken Parsons with that pick, but that's just one of the first-rounders that they parted with. Ended up being Micah Parsons, that pick. So, I'm not against it. I mean, Kyle Shanahan knows better than me, like, which guy is capable of playing well. And, and I think Purdy's the guy that did it. So, if he can really come all the way back, he's probably the guy to start with.
Saquon Barkley absent from Giants OTAs. There's some contract issues going on between he and the team. Something to keep an eye on?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, running backs have been so devalued by, the football stats guys, and that's kind of spilled into front offices. And, it's for good reason. I mean, I think running backs are important, but just like fantasy, when these guys, he's 26, he was drafted in 2018, as these guys get in their late 20s, they usually fall apart, and they usually don't, those second contracts, or the Jets paid Le'Veon Bell, or the Cowboys paid Zeke, or the Rams paid Gurley, they don't usually, pan out for the team. So they want to franchise him, which I think is the best for both because he gets a lot of money for 1 year. And if he's good, he'll get it again, but he wants a bigger deal, and he's a really good player. And Saquon Barkley, he's a Bitcoiner. So if Bitcoin goes up, this summer, maybe he won't care as much about the money. So I don't know that he's going to care about that. But it's something to watch. I think they'll come to an agreement. I don't think he's going to get, a long-term contract. I don't think he's going to hold out.
Yeah. Football is right around the corner. I guess it's here because Aaron Rodgers is already dinged up, and Jets fans are somewhat worried at this point. Don't be worried.
I love Rodgers, and I hope, and I hate the Jets. So this is a very weird thing for me, but I guess it's a strained calf, and a strained calf though is, a strain is a tear. I learned this from Stefania Bell of ESPN when she was working with RotoWire. She explained a sprain is a torn ligament and a strain is a torn muscle. So they say, oh, it's just a strain. What do you mean you tore your muscle? It's just how severe is it? And the calf muscle, Victor Cruz of the Giants tore a calf muscle, strained the calf muscle in the summer, and we thought he was going to be back for week one. He just missed the whole year. I don't think that's what's going to happen for Rodgers, but, he's 38 or whatever he is, 39. It's not great news, and it would be so Jets for them to, trade for Rodgers and then end up having him injured for a portion of the year.
crazy. All right. Hey, Chris, before we let you go for this Wednesday, tell us a little bit about what you got going there at Real Man Sports, and we'll look forward to talking with you in a couple weeks in June.
Yeah, it's realmansports.substack.com. I'm basically just writing about my teams and some of the players on them. And a little bit of basketball because I got back into basketball recently, a little NBA. But that's really it. Realmansports.substack.com.
Are the Celtics done? Can they make it? That's our poll question today. Can they make a series out of this?
I think they're. I when I saw Jason Tatum light up the Sixers, I thought they were going to win. I was like, wow, he looks so good. I'll say yes, they're done. They're not. They may win another game, but they're not going to. It's going to be the Heat in the finals. I don't think they can come all the way back.
Heat and Nuggets. We all thought that, right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Heat would have to beat 2-1 seeds to win the title, you know, if they can do it. I mean, that's, I don't think that'll ever happen again. Both 1 seeds.
And you look back to the, whatever, the play-in series, and Miami was on the verge of not even getting into the regular playoffs.
Yeah, they got a little bit of a break when Giannis missed some time, but still, it's been a great run for them.
Yeah, it is. All right, Chris, thanks. Take care. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, Chris Liss joining us every other Wednesday. His appearance brought to you by I'm On Communications. They are the official sponsor of all things fantasy sports right here on KGYM. Update from Omaha. It is now tied. Rutgers with a 3-spot. In the 5th, they're in the bottom of the 6th right now, and it is 4th-seeded Nebraska and 5th-seeded Rutgers tied at 3 in Omaha. Huskers have a little bit of a rally, 2-on, 2-out right now in the bottom of the 6th inning, and the winner of this one gets Maryland coming up in the second round. Of course, Iowa will be in action against Indiana coming up tomorrow. That's going to be tomorrow afternoon from Omaha while we are on the air. And, Mark, while we were in our last break, you let me know that we have secured tomorrow's guest, and it's a good one.
Yeah, I've been working on it for part of the day. We're going to be joined by Steve Rowe, the retiring assistant AD, communications director, sports information director at the University of Iowa. He's had quite a career with the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, he has. So we're looking forward to that coming up tomorrow. Write that down, Isaac. Steve Rowe, tomorrow, 3:30. All right. 3:51, we're going to take a break, come back, get an update on state tennis when we reconvene here in the gym class on KGYM.
Broken bricks, falling fences, damaged doors, Gorilla Glue. Of course. It's incredibly strong and 100% waterproof and bonds, well, virtually everything. While you're at it, look for Gorilla Tape, a heavy-duty double-thick duct tape, and Gorilla Super Glue, great for all your quick fixes and repairs. There's also Gorilla Epoxy, Gorilla Wood Glue, Gorilla Construction Adhesive, of course. You get it. If you can break it, Gorilla can fix it. For the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Bundling and saving with GEICO is an easy choice, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like, what's the best animal in the world if not humans? I'd strongly consider ducks to be somewhere up there on the list. Think about it. Ducks can swim, ducks can fly, and ducks can walk on land. They have access to all terrains. They are the ultimate animal. And they wiggle their butts when they walk, which is funny. Yeah, ducks are awesome. End of story. Bundling and saving with GEICO. It's an easy choice.
Four! I wish I was a better golfer.
It's an odd word to yell.
Whoa, where'd you come from?
It's me, Flo, and I'm here to grant your wish of Progressive taking $50 off your deductibles. Just choose the Deductible Savings Bank feature and finish a policy period without filing a claim or having a driving violation.
Great, but what about my golf swing?
Oh, I just do insurance. Sorry.
Sign up for Progressive and opt into more savings. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Safe driver discount not available in all states or situations.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for a la carte combo orders.
Again, coming up tomorrow, Steve Rowe is going to join us. Friday topic coming up on Friday for you, and take a look at the big Memorial Day weekend coming up tomorrow here on on Friday on the gym class on KGYM. And we've got maybe some champions to talk about in state tennis. And Randy Krejci, kind enough to join us here to fill us in on everything happening now with Class 1A and 2A. And Randy, did we crown some champions?
Yes, we got some champions, and we got some pretty good, pretty high finishers from the metropolitan area. First of all, we'll go with Class 2A that's played at the beautiful Big Ten facility down in Iowa City. Caden Taylor is the first player to ever win from the new school in the state of Iowa, and that is Waukee Northwest. He upset Caleb Peterson from Ankeny Centennial. And so anyway, he is the new champion. But what a great tournament by Anthony Schulte, the super sophomore from Cedar Rapids Prairie. He did lose to the runner-up this morning in the semifinals, and but still finished fourth in the state. He lost this afternoon to Quinn Monson of Waukee. But anyway, Anthony Schulte is the Mississippi Valley Conference Athlete of the Year, and he finished fourth in the state of Iowa. Jaden Shin of Iowa City West won a second set tiebreaker, and he defeated Jason Strand of Marshalltown, so he got fifth place. And at eighth place was the great player from Dubuque Hempstead, Jake Altos. Then as we look at the doubles for Class 2A, it's kind of a rare daily double. Waukee Northwest won the doubles title, too. But probably the highlight from our area are the two Linmar doubles teams that both finished in the top eight in the state of Iowa. For fifth place, Linmar's Malcolm Rice and Zach Mersch defeated Bettendorf to gain fifth place in the state of Iowa. And in seventh place, Linmar knocked off Iowa City West. So Garrett Bogmeister and Jackson Kramer ended up in seventh place. As we look at Class 1A, as expected, Caden Branham of Decorah was the champion. But the freshman phenom from Cedar Rapids Xavier had a great tournament. This morning, he upset number two seeded Ethan Moon of North Polk, and then lost in straight sets to Caden Branham. But a great season for that fabulous freshman from Cedar Rapids Xavier. And his teammate, Ryan Schmidt, I believe Ryan's a senior there, but he defeated Boone's top player, and he ended up in fifth place with a straight set victory there. And so anyway, the doubles went to Pella's pair of Jake Briggs and Joshua Rosenboom. And but in the third place match, Dubuque Wallard edged out Waverly Shellrock. So Dubuque Wallard, Charlie Curtis, and Roan Martineau, they are third place in the state of Iowa. They won 7-5, 6-4 over the powerful Waverly Shellrock duo from the Northeast Iowa Conference, Luca Myers and Benny Ramker. So a real good showing for Eastern Iowa overall, but probably if you look at the total picture, Central Iowa Metropolitan League foes maybe dominated overall for this year's State Boys Tennis Championships. And then we'll be back with you also on Friday then, Scott, when the girls start taking the action around the state of Iowa. So girls' state individuals will begin on Friday, and they will conclude on Saturday.
All right. Hey, Randy, thanks for the info. Appreciate it. We'll talk then.
Okay, very good. Take care, Mark and Scott. Bye-bye.
All right. Randy Krejci letting us know what's happening at state tennis here. Nebraska still tied with Rutgers, Mark 3-3. They are in the seventh, and Rutgers with a little bit of a little threat going right now. Nebraska changing pitchers. And this is the final first-round game of the Big Ten Baseball Championships. Iowa will take on Indiana coming up tomorrow when we are on the air. And we will talk Iowa Athletics. Looking forward to talking with Steve Rowe. Mark, thank you for setting that up, as Steve's going to be retiring very soon. And what a career he has had, and what an amazing abundance of events he has seen.
Yeah, a lot of memories Steve has had. And he worked under George Wine, Phil Hattie, longtime SIDs as well. And Steve has had a terrific career in his own right.
Yeah, so we'll talk with him coming up tomorrow. Florida Panther hockey against Carolina coming up tonight for you at 6:30 right here on KGYM from Sports USA. And if Miami or Florida wins, they will move on to the Stanley Cup Final. Mark, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp's show is next.
It's not a rumor. I'm back. And in my first Netflix show, FUBAR, ready to get pumped up to crush everything.